there is one reality in life, and that is death. It is the great equalizer. The rest is a distraction. What have you done to prepare for it? Do you really know where you have come from and to where you are really going? To all who come to see and hear of this documentary, let it be known that our fight is not with any group of people. Our fight is with Satan himself, who has successfully deceived the world into going astray. For it has become ever so evident that most people have no clue not only of who is God, but also who is Satan. This message of truth is a final warning to all people, to the Jewish, the Christian, the Muslim, the Hindu, the Buddhist, and even to the atheist. This is a final warning to all of humanity. If you are like most people in the world, who refuse to search and examine the truth of their religion, from their very own scriptures with a clear mind, then I strongly urge you to turn away now. For this presentation is clearly not for you. It is those with the courage to accept the truth, who have the wisdom and understanding to question the clergy. You will embark on new understanding to the Torah, Gospel, and Quran, which has never been revealed before in the history of humanity, which amazingly matches the true prophecies of Enoch, Idris, and seriously exposes the false teachings of the clergy and the scholars. It is those whose names have been written in the Book of Life before the creation of the world that will come to accept and believe this message.
Body and soul in paradise and in hell. When we deeply meditate on Adam and Eve prior to their transgression against the commandment of God, we come to the crystal clear understanding that not only did Adam and Eve exist in paradise, but they existed in both the body, meaning flesh, and the soul that were purified from sin. To those who do not cancel their minds, this can only mean one thing, that when they both died on our earth after living many years in exile, both of their souls, along with both of their bodies, returned to the state they were in, paradise. In complete contrast to the popular belief that only the spirit enters life. As our teacher clearly clarifies to us in the text of chapter 172, Bernard's. Listen carefully, my dear brothers and sisters. Now let this be your book wherein to study the knowledge of paradise, said Jesus. Because all that God has given to man in this present world for his body is as though Herod should give a mite to a poor man. But what God will give to the body and soul in paradise, to the body and soul in paradise, and I repeat, but what God will give to the body and soul in paradise is as though Herod should give all that he has, yes, and his own life to one of his servants. And Jesus goes on to reiterate this damning truth in chapter 173 of Barnabas. Peter answered, shall then our body, which we now have, go into paradise? Jesus answered, beware, Peter, lest thou become a Sadducee. For the Sadducees say that the flesh shall not rise again, and that there be no angels. Wherefore, their body and soul are deprived of entrance into paradise, and they are deprived of all ministry of angels in this world. Best thou perchance forgotten Job, prophet and friend of God, how he said, I know that my God lives, and in the last day I shall rise again in my flesh, and with my eyes I shall see God, my Saviour. The above proclamation by Jesus was confirmed in Ezekiel 37 verses 1 to 14. where amazingly an entire army was resurrected from bone to flesh, was confirmed in the amazing reappearance of Moses and Elijah in the flesh, who spoke to Jesus in Luke 9:30-31, and was proven by Jesus himself when he amazingly reappeared in the flesh to his disciples after his supposed crucifixion in the damning text of Luke 24:36-41. Jesus goes on to further explain to us all how our bodies will be purified before entering paradise in the same chapter of 173 Barnabas. But believe me, this flesh of ours shall be so purified that it shall not possess a single property of those which now it has, seeing that it shall be purged of every evil desire, and God shall reduce it to such a condition as was Adam's before he sinned. Jesus once again demonstrates to us all how the body and the soul enter paradise. Two men serve one master in one and the same work. The one alone sees the work and gives orders to the second, and the second performs all that the first commands. Seems it just to you, I say, that the master should reward only him who sees and commands, and should cast out of his house him who wearied himself in work? Surely not. How then shall the justice of God bear this, the soul and the body with sense of men serve God? The soul only sees and commands the service, because the soul, eating no bread, fasting not, the soul walks not, feels not cold and heat, falls not sick and is not slain, because the soul is immortal. It suffers not any of those corporal pains which the body suffers at the instance of the elements. Is it then just, I say, that the soul alone should go into paradise, and not the body, which has wearied itself so much in serving God? Peter answered, O Master, the body having caused the soul to sin ought not to be placed in paradise. Jesus answered, Now how shall the body sin without the soul? Assuredly, it is impossible. Therefore, in taking away God's mercy from the body, thou condemns the soul to hell. I repeat, therefore, in taking away God's mercy from the body, thou condemns the soul to hell. The above damning revelation lays to serious waste, my dear brothers and sisters, the falsehood teachings that in heaven we exist in a spiritual body, when in reality we exist in a purified body. We also ascertain that Adam and Eve indeed ate and drank in paradise, as did those elect before them, as Jesus strongly demonstrates in chapter 174, Barnabas. Now, what should eat the meats of paradise, if the body go not there too? The soul? Surely not, seeing it is a spirit. Peter answered, So then the blessed shall eat in paradise? But how shall the meat be voided without uncleanness? Jesus answered, Now what blessedness shall the body have if it eat not nor drink? Assuredly, it is fitting to give glory in proportion to the thing glorified. But you are wrong, Peter, in thinking that such meat should be voided in uncleanness, because this body at the present time eats corruptible meat, and thus it is that purification comes forth. But in paradise the body shall be incorruptible, impassible, and immortal, and free from every misery, and the meats which are without any defect shall not generate any putrefaction. The damning truth about the existence of the body and soul in paradise is further attested to in Barnabas 176. To what does it serve to say, "They shall feast," said Jesus to his disciples. Surely God speaks plain. He is not great. But to what purpose are the four rivers of precious liquor in paradise with so many fruits? Assuredly, God eats not. The angels eat not. The soul eats not. The sense eats not. But rather the flesh, which is our body. Wherefore the glory of paradise is for the body, the meats, and for the soul, and the sense God, and the conversation of angels and blessed spirits. The priceless knowledge we have just acquired now gives us a clearer insight into how and why God miraculously rained down food from heaven on Moses and the Israelites in the desert, and incredibly sustained them for 40 years. Exodus 16, 35. Manna and quail from heaven. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years. And it now gives us a clearer insight into the reasoning behind the miracle of Cana, where the water was changed to wine. John 2, 1 to 11. For Jesus was clearly alluding to the purified liquor of the rivers in paradise, which contain no toxins or chemicals. As authenticated, my dear brothers and sisters, in Surah 47, 14 to 15, are those enlightened by their Lord the same as those whose evil works are adorned in their eyes and they follow their own opinions? The allegory of paradise that is promised for the righteous is this: it has rivers of unpolluted water and rivers of fresh milk and rivers of wine, delicious for the drinkers, and rivers of strained honey. They have all kinds of fruits therein, forgiveness from their Lord. Are they better for those who abide forever in the hellfire and drink hellish water that tears up their intestines? It is from here that we come to fully understand what Jesus was alluding to when he spoke in all of Luke 14 verse 15. When one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to them, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Revelation 7, 16 to 7. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst anymore, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. In what was written in chapter 48, 1 to 5, book of Enoch, in that place I beheld a fountain of righteousness which never failed, encircled by many springs of wisdom. Of these all the thirsty drank and were filled with wisdom, having their habitation with the righteous, the elect, and the holy. It is from here we come to fully comprehend the forbidden knowledge that indeed angels minister to believers in Paradot, as written in Hebrews 1, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? And it is from here we come to fully comprehend the forbidden knowledge that both the spirit and body not only enter paradise together, but hell also, as Jesus stipulated in Matthew 5:29-30. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Matthew 10:28. And fear not them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The other damning clue we have that the flesh certainly enters hell with the soul is in Luke 16, verse 24, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. From the forbidden knowledge we have acquired, it is an impossibility for a spirit to feel thirst, let alone possess a tongue, without the existence of the flesh. It is for our salvation, my dear brothers and sisters, that the truth of God was revealed in the prophecies and in the one and only gospel of Jesus Christ, as Peter clearly attested to in 1 Peter 1, verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. And 1 Peter 1, verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Tragically, the majority of the world has and continues to believe the falsehood of the Sadducees and their doctrine. Take heed, my brothers and sisters, of the overwhelming and damning hell verses spoken by our teacher in all of the following. Matthew 5:22. But I say to you, that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Matthew 5:29-30. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, that everyone who gazes at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Matthew 7:13-19. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Matthew 8:12. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:30. Let both grow together until the harvest And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew 13:40. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. Matthew 13:42. And will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 39:49-50. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22:13. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 24:51. And will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:30. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Mark 3:29. But he who blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. Luke 3:17. His winnowing fan in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Luke 12:5. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. John 5:29. And come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. John 15:6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Revelation 21:8. But for the cowardly, unbelieving sinners, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their part is in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. It is of most importance to read chapters 59-61 to further understand what hell is really all about, my dear brothers and sisters. From all that we have just demonstrated, it has become ever more evident that there is no such thing as purgatory. As past and present generations of lost Christian souls have been falsely led to believe, along with some lost generations of Muslims, as can be ascertained from the following. This fact, my dear brothers and sisters, is further demonstrated in the original Gospel of Christ, chapter 24, which has been retracted in the text of Luke 16:19-31. In both texts, we can clearly derive the second one dies, they are immediately taken to hell or paradise. There is absolutely no purgatory. Those that go to hell immediately experience torment, as can be seen in Luke 16, verse 23. That there is an eternal barrier between hell and paradise, where no one can cross over, as blessed Abraham attests to in Luke 16, 26, which is consolidated in Enoch 1, chapter 22. And thus has it been from the beginning of the world. Thus has there existed a separation between the souls of those who utter complaints and of those who watch for their destruction, to slaughter them in the day of sinners. And Surah 7, 46 to 51. And between them will be a partition, and on its elevations are men who recognize all by their mark. And they call out to the companions of paradise, "Peace be upon you." They have not yet entered it, but they long intensely. And when their eyes are turned towards the companions of the fire, they say, "Our Lord, do not place us with the wrongdoing people." And the companions of the elevations will call to men within hell, whom they recognize by their mark, saying, "Of no avail to you was your gathering and the fact that you were arrogant." Allah will say, "Are these the ones whom you inhabitants of hell swore that Allah would never offer them mercy? Enter paradise, O people of the elevations. No fear will be there concerning you, nor will you grieve." And the companions of the fire will call to the companions of paradise, "Pour upon us some water, or from whatever Allah has provided you." They will say, "Indeed, Allah has forbidden them both to the disbelievers, who took their religion as distraction and amusement, and whom the worldly life deluded. So today, we will forget them, just as they forgot the meeting of this day, of theirs, and for having rejected our verses." All of the above text brings to fruition what was prophesied in Isaiah 66, 24. "And they will go out and look on the dead bodies of those who rebelled against them. The worms that eat them will not die. The fire that burns them will not be quenched. And they will be loathsome to all mankind." And by our teacher, back in Matthew 19, verse 24. "Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Of which was testified to in Surah 7, 40. "Indeed, those who deny our verses and are arrogant towards them, the gates of heaven will not be opened for them, nor will they enter paradise until a camel enters into the eye of a needle. And thus too we recompense the criminals." All of the above damning evidence not only exposes the deceit of purgatory, but also the malicious deceit that Jesus died for our sins, bringing to fruition that both beliefs, along with many others, were falsely invented by the Antichrist. As attested to in Surah 3, verse 24, "That is because they say, never will the fire touch us, except for a few numbered days. And because they were deluded in their religion by what they were inventing." Thank you.
And that concludes part 15 of our video series. In our next episode, entitled The Accursed One Announces Himself, we will reiterate Satan's intentions from the very beginning of humanity to deceive all of mankind, a trait that is clearly evident in all of the religions, as we will soon unmask for the truth seekers to see and examine for themselves.